Here we go. Let's flip a coin. On one side of the coin, LeVar should come on every week. On the other side of the coin, enough is enough. John, call it in the air.
Heads every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
It's heads.
Heads.
All right, I'm going first. No advantage comes with that.
No.
Okay, Mace. And I asked Michael to hang around for this question, too, because I think his response will be interesting. I think it was back in 2015 when you were a participant in the Long Beach Grand Prix celebrity race. One of the guys you raced with was Josh Morrow, who is a soap opera star. He's on
great
The Young
guy.
And the Restless.
Big listener to the show.
I've done some charity events with Josh. He is great. So you're going to love this. Starting today and into the next few weeks, a lot of the CBS soap operas are being preempted for the NCAA tournament. Nothing drives soap opera fans crazy more than having their shows preempted for anything. Now, CBS knows this, so they had Josh make fun of himself in a promo. It's 60 seconds. Here's the promo. I can describe it as Josh with a beautiful woman having an argument. Hit it, Jorge.
There's something I need to tell you, something I've never told you before.
Okay, tell me.
It's serious. It could change everything.
Nick, is there someone else?
No. No way. There could never be anyone else.
Okay, so just tell me.
Okay. In 2012, I didn't have Lehigh over Duke like I told everyone I did.
What did you just say?
I had Duke winning the whole thing. My bracket was in ruins. The Plumlee brothers, they were amazing. What was I supposed to do?
Get out of my hotel.
Don't act like you didn't think Austin Rivers was unstoppable,
too. Get out of my life!
All right, so
awesome.
That was Josh basically promoting the tournament. Now, Mace, here's my question, and then I want Michael to answer. Have you ever been hooked on a daytime soap?
When I was working for the Toledo Mud Hens in the early 80s, I guess it would have been, General Hospital was a gigantic deal. It was Luke and Laura, and everybody, I was traveling with the team, everybody was locked into that soap opera every single day. So that's one time
that
I've been hooked into General Hospital.
That's why I wanted to ask you, Michael, because every 80s athlete I know, because you guys had a lot of downtime during the day, got hooked on a soap opera. Did you ever get hooked on a soap opera?
General Hospital with the Quartermaines, One Life to Live with Vicky, Young and Restless. Oh, yeah, we were hooked. I grew up with the soap operas in the Bahamas even. We watched them over there and the weather was good. So, yeah, definitely GH, One Life to Live, and Young and Restless, of course.
So what about you, Ireland?
For me, Mace, I was flipping channels one day. This was when I was working in Monroe, Louisiana. And I saw Robin Wright. And I thought she was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen.
She was still so beautiful.
She was on a soap called Santa Barbara. And do you know who else was on that soap?
No.
A. Martinez, the real A. Martinez.
The real A. Martinez, yes.
Yeah, but so Robin Wright, who I still to this day think is like completely stunning, got me hooked on Santa Barbara. Lindsay, how about you? Did you ever get hooked on a daytime soap?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you guys ever saw Passions.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, Passions was like Santa Barbara. It was just complete daytime
crazy. The best was when the witch lady had a doll that came to life, and his name was Timmy. And he would be like, oh, no, Tabby. That was my favorite. I love that.
All right, Mace, it's to you.
All right, by the way, Josh Morrow, huge fan of the Oklahoma Sooners. I think that's his alma mater, and I'll let him know that I've got Liberty beating Oklahoma in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah, he'll love that.
All right, the Miami Heat traded Myers Leonard in a second-round pick to OKC for Trevor Ariza. Oklahoma City expected to cut Leonard. They really did the deal for the second round pick. Leonard used a hateful anti-Semitic term in a recent Twitch session. He was fined $50,000 and suspended for a week. Is Leonard's career over, and how much does it have to do with the anti-Semitic incident?
I think it could be over. I think it's that serious. And Mace, I think part of the reason why is that if you watch, this was on video. He was playing on Twitch, so you can watch, and he's firing guns, yelling that anti-Semitic term. I mean, in light of what happened yesterday, which was just a senseless act of violence against Asian Americans, mainly women, There's just zero tolerance for even jokes about that, about anybody doing anything. And it's not going to help him that, you know, Mickey Arison, the owner of the Heat, is Jewish. A lot of the other owners are Jewish. I don't think that there's a soft landing spot for him here. You know me, I hate cancel culture, but this is going to be a really hard thing for him to overcome.
See, I look at it and I say he's averaging 3 points a game with two rebounds. He's only playing 9 minutes a game. This is one of those ones where he's probably out. If he could play, he would survive this, but he's way past.
It's a basketball equivalent of Ray Rice.
Yeah. Now, is that cancellation?
Well, I think that if he can play, like if he goes and somebody gives him a chance in the G League, which I could see happening, and he works his way back up, he'll have that opportunity. But I don't think another NBA team's going to sign him.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, it's to
me.
You.
Yeah. Fast track.
All right, Mace. UFC President Dana White announced this week that they'll be running its first show in front of a full crowd in more than a year. It's set for April 24th in Jacksonville. White says the event will have 15,000 fans, the first time the UFC has done a card with a no-capacity limit since the start of the pandemic. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry tweeted that he, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and White will, quote, continue to demonstrate that Florida is poised to safely host signature sporting events watched globally, end quote. Here's my question. If they pull this off without any issues,
yep,
isn't that a clear sign that major sports are ready to welcome back at least most fans across the country, or is that a reach on my part?
Well, I mean, this is UFC, right?
Yeah.
And Dana White has been very aggressive all along about continuing to make sure that the sport has gone on despite the pandemic. You know, I think it's coming back. I'm with Dana White on this. I think it's all coming back much faster than we anticipate. You know, if all the information is true, everybody could be vaccinated by the end of May, or everybody that wants to be vaccinated could be vaccinated by the end of May. I think the world is definitely going to change. Like I read, I think the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is set for July, and they are setting that up as if it is going to be a full house, as if it is going to be a full crowd. I think we're going to get to that point much quicker, maybe, than you do, John. I see rays of hope here. As long as everybody gets their vaccine, everybody that can possibly get the vaccine. Lindsay, you got your first shot, right?
Sure did. Got it this morning.
I get my second shot in 2 weeks. If everybody goes out and gets their shots, whether it's the one-shot one or the two-shot one, there's no reason why life can't become something close to normal again.
Well, what I'm encouraged by is the UFC is an indoor event. You know,
yeah,
it's an inside arena. And since I'm an NBA guy, that's what I'm really hoping for. I can't tell you how much I want to get the fans back in the building. So I'm really rooting for this to go off without a hitch.
All right. Short fast track today. There you have it. Thanks very much. Don't forget fast track every single day at 1:55. We ran a little long earlier today because we had Kendrick Lamar. We had Kendrick Perkins and we had LeVar Ball. So
yeah,
and
Kendrick,
both great.
Yeah, Kendrick LeVar.
Fast track.
Kendrick LeVar. There is your fast track for today. Coming up next, a very, very negative column in the LA Times.
Really?
And
what?
I'd like to take up Dylan Hernandez on this.
Okay.
The headline reads, "It's a trilogy, a predictable ending, Kenley Jansen's October meltdown." Negativity. We'll get into that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, Fast Track always brought to you by Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Thanks very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. Blockbuster first hour. Michael Thompson's hanging out with us today. So, John, this is what Dylan Hernandez, columnist for the LA Times, wrote today. It'll be a trilogy with a predictable ending. This is the headline. Kenley Jansen's October meltdown. Kenley Jansen promises improvement. Dave Roberts voices his support. But come October, someone else is the Dodgers' closer. The cycle is repeating itself again. There's a minor twist this time. Jansen is pitching well in what could be his final exhibition season with the Dodgers, striking out 9, walking none over 5 scoreless innings. His most recent appearance was yesterday. He pitched the 5th inning, struck out the side, and threw 14 pitches. John, why can't it be? Why do we have to already rain on the Kenley Jansen parade? He's pitching really well. His velocity is up 92, 93 miles an hour. Why can't it be that Kenley has just rediscovered what he lost the last few years?
Because that hardly ever happens. And the fact is that if you watch the games, Kenley Jansen is a human heart attack for Dodger fans. Every time he comes in, he puts runners on base. Oftentimes when the games end, the bases are loaded. And you know, let's face it. Last year in the postseason, he didn't have it. Against the Padres, his ERA was 13. Against Tampa Bay, his ERA was 10.8. I mean, he just didn't have it. They had to go to Julio Urias to close the World Series. His job is not even to win games. It's just to hold on to them, just to save them. And he can't do what they're paying him to do anymore with consistency in the high-leverage moments. I'm shocked they're bringing Kenley Jansen back as their closer. I thought for sure they would go out and do something else.
Once you get to the postseason, it can't be different. I mean, a lot of teams change. I watched David Price close a game in the World Series.
I've seen Clayton Kershaw close a game.
I watched Nathan Eovaldi close a game in the World Series. Brad Peacock. I mean, all these guys can close games, and it does change once you get to that we just need 27 outs mentality of the postseason. But Kenley Jansen is going to have a sub-3 ERA and save 35 games on a 100-win team this year.
By the way, you were done with Kenley Jansen last September and October. You were
Oh, no, in the postseason he wasn't pitching well. But you base it on how somebody's pitching, how they're throwing. You don't just bequeath somebody the closer role. You've got to be pitching well to do it. And right now there's no reason for Kenley Jansen not to be the closer. He's had the most effective spring of anybody from that bullpen. Why wouldn't he be the closer?
Because in high-leverage moments last year he couldn't do the job.
And in the postseason. In the regular season, he did.
Right, but I mean, that's all that matters to Dodger fans now is the postseason. I mean, the regular season is nice, but they're going to the playoffs.
Right, but there's two different animals here. There is the regular season and there is the postseason. And you've got to be good over 162 games to punch your ticket to the part of the year where you only need 11 wins. And there's no reason why Kenley cannot be effective as closer during the course of this regular season. We don't have to and by the way, Kenley was talking yesterday. I've actually got some of this. Jorge, follow me here. Kenley Jansen, of course, who, as John mentioned, struggled in the postseason last year and absolutely did. Here he is talking about what he's been working on during spring training.
It's just efficiency. You know, how efficient can I be? Just being efficient, you know, make pitches. I feel like the last few years, my lack of command wasn't there. So that's my number one priority to work on this offseason is to, you know, put my body in a position that I can, you know, have a great command again.
Here he is on whether he felt bad that he wasn't on the mound for the World Series clincher last year. Felt bad.
Team sport. When someone's fall, someone pick you up. Most of the time, I pick everybody up most of my career. So, you know, it's a team sport. And Julio was throwing the ball really well that postseason, the whole postseason. So, you know, you got to give it to, you know, credit to front office, Doc, and everybody. You know, just at the end of the day, we all win a championship. So, of course, you know, I feel like I could be out there and get the last out, but, you know, Doc just keep riding with Julio because he was throwing the ball really well. The playoffs and that game that he was pitching.
Okay, last thing. does he feel bad? He's talking about you, John. Does he feel bad that Dodger fans don't want him closing?
At the end of the day, is I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of doing. So whatever image is out there right now, that's not me. That's all I can say. And I'm going to stay true to myself. And I'm going to keep putting work in and keep working. Because at the end of the day, I know who I am. And I know what I'm capable of doing. So at the end of the day, it's a debate of you guys. You guys can have it. And, you know, hopefully I can spoil you guys again.
Yeah, I mean, last year he saved 11 games. He struck out 33 guys in 24 innings. His strikeout rate's still very high, 3.33 ERA, and actually had a very good run during the regular season, and there's nothing wrong with that. The year before, 33 saves, 5-3 and a 3.71 ERA. The guy can still get outs and is pitching really, really well during spring training. I think we should all be a little bit more accepting of the idea that this is the guy we're going to see on the mound in the ninth inning an awful lot during this regular season.
Why does it have to be the ninth inning? Why can't he pitch earlier in the game like they did in the postseason last year?
He could, but why would you not go to the guy who's having the best spring? Why would you not want the guy who's having the best spring to go ahead and close out for you?
Because
you want to go to the guy that's not having as good a spring?
I want to go to a guy that I've seen the movie, the Kenley Jansen movie. I know how it ends.
He's thrown five scoreless innings and struck out nine, walking none so far during the preseason.
Right. Well,
why would you want somebody who's having a spring not as good to be the closer?
I don't mind them throwing him out there in April and May, and if he can prove that he can be that guy, then great. But I've seen this before, and I know how it ends, and I think they should have a backup plan. I just don't trust him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look,
I'm kind of with Dylan Hernandez here.
What's that?
I'm with Dylan Hernandez.
I'm anti-Dylan. I'm anti-Dylan. Why already talk about Kenley Jansen's October meltdown?
Because I watched the World Series last
year. When he's having a tremendous spring.
Right, but there's no pressure on the guy pitching in spring.
He's throwing well. His velocity's up. His cutter's cutting. All that stuff. I think he's going to have a really good year.
Yeah, there are guys who can do it in practice, and basically spring training is practice, and then when the games come along, they can't do it.
Well, he did it 11 times last year.
Yeah, let's see which one of those. Well, 11 times in 50 games? I mean, that's not a lot. It's a fifth of the time. I mean, it just seems to me that they could come up with better options. But I'm not – hey, April and May don't mean anything to me. I think the Dodgers are going to the playoffs even if they win one game in April and May. They're that good. So if they want to put him out there in April and May and he wants to show everybody what he can do, more power to him. Go for it. I don't have anything against him personally. I just think he gives everybody a heart attack when he goes out there.
Yeah, I think, by the way, I think every team's closer gives them a heart attack. I think if you talk to the average baseball fan, they look at their closer.
No, when Mariano Rivera was closing for the Yankees, I think they felt pretty confident.
You're choosing the ultimate outlier. You're choosing the greatest reliever in the history of the game. Sure, I would agree with you. They didn't worry.
Right, but I'm
but
saying,
if you're the Brewers and it's Corey Knebel, you've got a different feeling.
Yeah,
actually, Corey Knebel's on our team now.
Yeah, but I mean, Josh Hader, I'd rather have Hader than Jansen. You know, Hader throws 101 miles an hour. He's got some off the field issues, but that guy can throw heat. It just seems to me that Jansen is kind. You always say, "What's new? What's next?" It's not him. He's what's old.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a really good year, a really good year. By the way, I will draft him in my fantasy league without question because I see those 35 saves and I see that productive season. You know, both Bronstein and Lindsay are new franchises in my fantasy league. The
same
shaky
team
league.
Or different team?
Different teams. They each have their own franchises. This league has been going since 1988. There are four of us now that have been in this league since 1988. And Lindsay and Adam are both going to be chum in the water for us because this league is filled
like
with sharks.
You're in the NBA league?
You'll be chum in the water when you're the one drafting Kenley Jansen as your closer.
We will find out. We will find out. All right, coming up next for you, have you seen the new show The Rock, the one about the Young Rock?
No, I saw a promo for it, but I haven't seen the show.
Okay, there's a really cool moment in it that I want to play coming up for you. And let me ask you about body shaming when we come back. Body shaming.
I'm ashamed of my body. Does that count?
I believe it does. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, what's going on?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is Thursday. NCAA tournament technically starts tomorrow. There are play-in
games they're playing right now. They're playing a couple of games.
Oh, are there games going on right now? When does UCLA play? UCLA's got Michigan State
7.
Today. All right, cool. And then tomorrow it's Melee. There's 16 games going on. They'll be going on while we're on the air. Instead of Thursday, Friday this year, it's Friday, Saturday. So it's a little bit different. All the games, of course, in Indianapolis. So there's a brand new series called Young Rock, a new show about The Rock trying to make it in college football at the University of Miami. He played defensive tackle at Miami during the Hurricanes' glory years. Injuries prevented him from fulfilling his potential and making it to the NFL. But Young Rock provides a glimpse of what it was like during his early days, his early practices. So he runs into the defensive line coach at Miami during that period was Ed Orgeron. And here is Emmett Skilton playing a young Ed Orgeron.
You blew off your classes and your finals, and you got a .7 GPA. The Dolphin they enrolled in classes as a publicity stunt got a 0.9.
I'm sorry I let you and the team down, coach. I'm going to fight to earn back your trust.
Just get your ass back in shape. Show me that upper body violence and you'll hit some bitches in the mouth. I need to stop drunk golfing.
I wasn't going to let Coach O down or my family. I was ready to fight.
There you have it. There is
the young Coach O.
The
actor playing young Coach O could have even gone more raspy, don't you?
Yeah. More raspy.
Yeah, Coach O's almost like a cartoon character.
I got an actual clip of what he's
Oh, you have some Coach O. Yeah. Okay,
here's actual Coach O's voice.
Everything's on the line.
Yeah, that Coach O is very, very cartoonish.
Yeah. By the way, we asked yesterday, neither of us are watching shows right now. We're looking for recommendations. I don't think I got anything good recommended. Did you?
No. I don't. There's no shows. I mean, well, let's face it, a lot of shows got shut down because of the pandemic. But
I'm telling you, John, you would be surprised. Things are shooting. Like, right, for example, right now they're shooting Curb Your Enthusiasm the next season.
Pandemic.
Things are shooting right now, despite the pandemic, as they say. Despite the pandemic.
The pandemic.
Okay, now I want to ask you something completely off the board.
Okay.
I read an article that says Gen X should be doing more, and that's my generation. You're a baby boomer. I'm Gen X, even though we're close together.
Okay.
Should be doing more to battle cancel culture. In the last couple of weeks, there have been efforts to cancel Pepe Le Pew, The Bachelor host Chris Harrison, Aunt Jemima, Mr. Potato Head, The Muppet Show, Dumbo, Mrs. Buttersworth, Cream of Wheat, Dr. Seuss, MyPillow, and Gina Carano. Those are the things of late that people have tried to cancel.
That's probably an incomplete list.
Yeah, and there's probably more. There's probably more. But see, some of this stuff, how do you divide it out? Like, some of this stuff really we should get rid of.
I was reading the other day that somebody wanted to cancel the movie Grease because they say it's misogynistic.
Yeah, see, some of that stuff, I don't necessarily see that. But like, for example, you weren't here, but Pepe Le Pew should absolutely be removed. He got cut out of Space Jam, Pepe Le Pew, because he is really inappropriate.
Lecherous.
He is right. He's a lech, Michael.
Yeah.
Now, do you call that him being canceled?
No, I wouldn't cancel it. Just...
Well, of course he's being canceled. That's what they're doing to Pepe.
But he's a total lech. Like he's kissing women against their will.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really
no, you
put
can't
that in Space Jam.
You don't
want
to teach that to little kids.
No, no. What did the Bachelor host Chris Harrison say?
Okay, so the Bachelor had their first black Bachelor this
right.
year. A guy named Matt James, really good-looking dude. And his final pick was a woman named Rachel Kirkconnell. And towards the end of The Bachelor, pictures surfaced of Rachel at a party where she was like, they were pretending that they were having a Southern party on a plantation.
An antebellum party.
Yeah, that's what you call it. Thank you, Michael. And so she was basically posing for pictures with her friends on what would have been kind of like a Gone with the Wind Southern plantation theme. And so a lot of people came out and ripped her for it. And Chris Harrison was doing an interview. Strangely, he was doing it with Rachel Lindsay, who used to be the Bachelorette. She's black. And Rachel asked Chris, what do you think about Kirkconnell and these pictures? And Chris Harrison said basically something along the lines of, I think we need to show her some compassion. Who am I to be the woke police? I think that we need to show, you know, I'd like to be one of the people that's, you know, coming at her with a little kindness rather than killing her for it. And so ever since then, Chris has been accused, particularly by the black Bachelor and Bachelorette cast members, as
right.
not getting it, of not being a part of it. And Mace, I'll tell you when I think everything changed. I think everything changed with George Floyd. And after George Floyd was murdered, the protest, you could tell there was a different vibe in the streets. And stuff that people used to put up with, they're not putting up with anymore. I think Chris Harrison probably gets away with saying what he said 2 years ago. But now everything's changed. There's very...
Wait a minute. He was basically saying it's okay to have a plantation party, right?
No, what he was saying was he wasn't going to kill Rachel Kirkconnell over the pictures because everybody else was killing her for it. You know, he was basically saying, look, I'm going to show a little compassion here because I think she's getting plenty of hate everywhere else. And just the fact that he wanted to show compassion, people said, well, he doesn't get it. He needs to go. And now he's out.
But, I mean, she was dressed up at a plantation party.
Right. So just by saying, but that's all Chris Harrison said. He didn't say, oh, I don't blame her for going to the party. It just showed that he didn't want to condemn her for it. And by not...
But aren't some things condemnable?
Right. But I'm just saying... He didn't say, I'm going to a plantation party and I'm dressing like this. What he said was, I'm just going to show her a little compassion. She's getting killed everywhere else. And
he didn't say it was okay. He just decided not to pile on.
Correct. But Lindsay, the reason he's not on The Bachelor anymore, and they may bring him back, but the reason he's not going to do the next one is because a lot of people, including Rachel Lindsay, who was in the Bachelorette family and was doing the interview, said, those comments are completely inappropriate. He clearly doesn't get it. So, as a matter of fact, when Chris left, he said, I'm going to go educate myself on some things. So it's by simply not criticizing her, by not condemning her, he lost his gig.
Right.
And I don't think 2 years ago he would have. I think the tone of the country has changed.
But some of this stuff, like, that gets lumped in, like Aunt Jemima. I mean, you got to change Aunt Jemima.
Well, it lasted for how many years? You know, there's a lot of stuff that you could change. You know, this is a conversation that's going on in particularly Southern colleges. Who was it? Virginia that had the Calhoun Hall? Somebody
yes.
had a Calhoun Hall, one of the colleges, and John C. Calhoun, who was like one of the biggest proponents of slavery ever, they said, you know, We have a lot of African American students here. We're taking his name off the building.
When is Kentucky going to change the name of their arena? Their coach used to be an avowed racist.
Right, and Michael,
he
by
did.
The way, who did
a-
not
offer up?
Yeah, who did not allow black players right. for so, many, many years.
I'm surprised his name is still up there.
So should they take his name off the building?
Oh, yes, he was an avowed racist. He wouldn't play any black, wouldn't recruit black people.
So
black
Michael, does that not mean you're essentially you want to cancel Adolf Rupp, right?
Yeah, kind of, yeah, because, well, let's put it this way. We can't cancel his record, but we should shouldn't honor him with his name on the arena.
What about you, John?
I tend to think of it this way. Adolf Rupp was a sign
of that. What a great name, huh? Adolf.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jeez.
Was a sign of that time period.
Yeah.
Yep.
you could go back and find a lot of Southern people that did a lot of good, but who also supported slavery. And you would have to go back and change the names of a lot of schools, a lot of airports, a lot of buildings. I think that, you know, the most famous story about this is Kate Smith, who used to sing God yes. Bless America. Somebody found a song that she sang that was completely racist in the 1930s. And there used to be a statue of her outside the arena in Philadelphia when she sang at the Flyer games. And they took the statue down because they found her singing a racist song. By the way, Mace, this is the argument going on at the University of Texas right now with the Eyes of Texas.
Right.
Some of the black players feel like that's a racist song.
That's why I've always had a problem with baseball's history and how they glorify Babe Ruth in that era. And I always say, why would you do that? That game shouldn't even count because of...
So would you erase Babe Ruth's 714
home runs? No, you can't erase the records, but it shouldn't
Would you erase all of college football history before...
No, not erase the history, what happened. But I don't think those guys should be called like the greatest ever because they didn't get a chance to play against everybody. You know?
Right. You're talking about subjective conversation.
Yeah, you're talking about the integration of baseball and all that stuff.
That kind of stuff. That's why people say Babe Ruth's the greatest player ever. It's like, how do you know that? He didn't play against Latinos, Asians, and blacks.
And you know, I don't say he's the greatest player ever because I never saw him play. I can only say the people I saw play. Or I don't even think Babe Ruth's on YouTube, is he?
No.
Yeah, you can get some highlights of him, sure.
Yeah, but not like you can of Hank
Aaron. I can't evaluate Babe Ruth by what's on YouTube. I know he hit a bunch of home runs.
Just look at his records, of course.
Yeah, you look at his records. Yeah, I mean, this whole idea of cancellation is interesting to me because I think it gets thrown around more than it should.
Well, here's an example. I just got a tweet from Raider Deb.
Yes.
My pillow definitely needs to go as he was supporting and calling for insurrection from the election lies. He's nothing but a traitor. That's a political position. In my mind, I'm just not going to, if I feel strongly about this, I'm not going to buy a My Pillow. I'm not going to support the guy's business. And then, you know, that.
And I think that's all they're doing, by the way. You can't do anything else to the guy.
Well,
he's nutty. I don't know what's special about his pillows at all.
I know that Lisa refused to let me buy one. I was looking at pillows one day. She goes, I don't care what you buy, just don't buy one of those My Pillows. And I went, okay, you know, easy enough. There's other pillows out there.
Yeah, there's other pillows. All right, coming up next for you, I don't know where that conversation went necessarily.
Oh, by the way, today is my game in honor of LaMelo Ball being in town.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good. Okay.
Good. You guys will like the game. I think you guys will like the game, too.
Is it coming up?
I hope it's not too hard.
No, it's very easy. Just have to answer the questions in the form of Jeopardy.
Okay.
Jeopardy. Okay, good. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff on us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got for us?
Well, I know how much you guys love talking about aliens. So somebody did a poll to figure out who's going to save us all if the aliens ever invade Earth.
Okay. LaVar Ball.
He'll
save
us. He could be on the list, but the one person that has been deemed to be the person most well-equipped to deal with a crisis is Arnold Schwarzenegger, according to a new poll conducted in the UK. The Terminator star and ex-California governor topped the list of 20 celebrities and public figures in a British survey of who would best be equipped to handle the doomsday scenario, with Will Smith coming in at number two.
He's had experience, yeah.
Yeah, rounding out the top five on the list were Sir David Attenborough, I don't even know who that is, followed by Bruce Willis and Tom Cruise. Would you trust any of these guys to save humanity from aliens?
Get in the chopper.
It's got to be The Rock.
The Rock is a great choice.
Yeah. The Rock would be excellent. I also would put LeBron on the list to save us from aliens.
Right. LeBron would be great. I do like the idea of Will Smith because of Independence Day. He punched that alien in the mouth and dragged it all the way back to that military base.
You know, I pick Ryan Garcia because he thinks he can beat everybody. He's a boxer.
No, Michael, what do you?
You don't think so, George?
No, I don't think so.
Man, Ryan thinks he can whoop everybody.
Yeah, well, what about when he got taken down?
Oh, he got knocked down, but he got up. What about Canelo?
All right.
Canelo Alvarez?
Nah.
Nah?
All right, that concludes boxing talk. Linz?
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's got to be somebody who can fight.
Well, LeBron would be good because he's supposedly going to save everybody from the Monstars.
Exactly.
Space Jam, right?
Uh-huh. He's got experience.
Him and Michael Jordan could team up together. All right. Next one here. Americans just might be addicted to work. For employers who offer paid vacation, an average of 30% of people leave those days on the table. So to counter the workaholic habits of the nation, yeah, excluding Mason, he's not among that 33%. But to counter the workaholic habits of the nation, Wyndham Hotels and Resorts has launched Operation Out of Office. The hotel franchising company is going to award one deserving worker with a two-week vacation and $5,000 to actually use those hard-earned days off. So if you want to nominate a coworker, a family member, friend, or even yourself, you can explain it in 100 words or less why they deserve the vacation, and you can go to WyndhamHotels.com/out-of-office.
Oh, do that for me. I need
that for me. Do it for me, please.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you know anyone who you would nominate for Wyndham's free vacation?
Oh, I would nominate Jorge.
Somebody lonely in the studio here, I need some time off.
No, Ireland, you know who we would nominate, Ireland, because he never takes a day off. Jim Hill.
He wouldn't take
Jim Hill.
Jim Hill would not take. He's the opposite of Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Jim Hill will never take a day off.
You know, here's the thing I think is different in our world. People wonder why I take all these vacation days. The truth is that we're not allowed to. Like, if you're in a regular job, you're allowed to carry those vacation days over to the next year and to the next year and to the next year and to get paid for them ultimately. That doesn't work. It doesn't work that way for us. Once the year is up, once our contract year is up, the days just go away. So you're kind of a fool not to take them and not to use them. I don't understand why I get mocked for this.
But how did you take
more than I'm allowed.
How did you negotiate a 12-week vacation?
It's not 12.
Seems like it.
I'm not even going to be able to use all my days this year.
Why?
Because of the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever used all my days. Like, in which you're right, it's stupid. I'm going to just start taking random. Maybe I'm going to do the Chuck Booms thing. Maybe I'll start taking Fridays off.
You are entitled to use those days. I'll tell you, I try to never leave a day on the table. I believe in rest. Yeah. I believe in taking a mental break. I believe in all that stuff.
I do. I do too. Can I take the rest of the show off? How much is
No, that? You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Monday and Tuesday off.
You are?
Excellent idea.
I'm going to take Monday, Tuesday.
You just decided that.
Yes, just decided right now. Monday, Tuesday, screw it. I'm taking those days off.
Well, Tuesday's your birthday, right? You should take your birthday off.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
Oh, feliz cumpleaños.
If you were a boss, would you allow your employees your attitude, Mace?
Well, I would allow my employees to do
take
what's
the
in
days
their contract.
Off. Yeah, they take you're the allowed. Days off they've earned. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are the days off.
Okay.
After working here for how long have we been doing this show now? We started 2000 at this station.
2008, we restarted here.
No, it was earlier than that, John.
No, it wasn't.
2003, 2004.
Wait a minute. We went off track. Where's my nomination? Come on.
Oh, yes. I nominate Jorge.
We went off track.
I would love to nominate Jorge, but I can't because when he's not here, I just can't deal with
him. Oh, that's good. That's an excellent point, Lindsay.
So I'm going to nominate
myself.
That's
right. And then they stick us with people that don't know what they're doing, and the show goes to hell. So, yeah, Jorge, I take it back.
Oh, nominate me instead. I'm going to post the link on Twitter. Me and Jorge can have a showdown. All right, last one here. Several college basketball players participating in the men's NCAA tournament joined a protest on social media against the NCAA as its signature event was set to begin, criticizing college sports governing body for not allowing athletes to be compensated for the use of their names, images, and likenesses. The hashtag not NCAA property is being used to underscore their concern that the NCAA too often treats college athletes like dollar signs rather than people, according to a statement released by the athletes. Here's their demands quickly. One, NCAA rule changes to allow all athletes the freedom to secure representation and receive pay for use of their name, image, and likeness by July 1st. Two, they want a meeting with NCAA President Mark Emmert. And three, they want meetings with state and federal lawmakers and President Biden's administration to pass laws to give college athletes physical, academic, and financial protections. Do you think this movement is going to go anywhere? Swipe left or swipe right?
It never has before, but I think that this is the way this is heading, Mace. I think that pretty soon these athletes are going to have more rights, but I think it's...
Well, California has passed that law that is supposed to go into effect, I think, in 2 years that players are allowed to use their own images in advertising and stuff like that.
Right. Here's what needs to happen, though, if they want this to get fast-tracked, if they want this to happen a lot quicker. Threaten to sit out the tournament. If they sat out the tournament one time, half of those demands would be given to them overnight. But since they're not going to do that, they're not going to threaten to sit out the tournament. I think that this will continue to drag out. They may eventually get what they want, but I don't think they're going to get it this year, and I don't think it's going to be immediate.
Yeah, and by the way, that California Fair Pay to Play Act, which has passed, goes into effect in 2023. So at that point, players in California, now I don't know what the penalty will be from the NCAA or if the NCAA is going to get dragged into the future kicking and screaming by the state of California. But by 2023, we could see a radical change in the way college athletes relate to the world and empowering them and to be fairly compensated in some way for their work more than they are right now. All right, there you have it. There is your Radio Tinder for today. Coming up next for you, two things. What is the hardest partying state in America? And did LaMelo Ball diss LeBron James in comments about tonight's matchup at Staples Center? Those two things coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.